How can we do greater works than Jesus? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm very glad that you have, because we're currently taking questions and doing our best to answer them from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending in a message, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to tackle this important question. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into Grace in Focus. My name is Sean, and I'm here with Bob, and we are taking your questions. Here's a question from Mika, and Mika wants to know basically what John 14:12 means. And Mika is saying that they prayed for someone who was shot in the neck, and afterwards they recovered. And so Mika thinks that's in fulfillment of John 14:12. Now, what does John 14:12 say?
John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And this has always been a puzzling verse, because in what sense or in what way can we as believers do greater works than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one? How could we possibly do greater works?
Right.
This has always puzzled me, but I think the answer to the question is that Jesus' ministry was limited to 3.5 years.
Okay.
And his ministry was basically centered around a small number of people, 12 disciples, his 70 disciples, maybe 500 at most that he had in a greater pool of disciples. Yes, he was trying to evangelize the nation, and he did that, but his primary ministry was to train up a small group of people who in turn, when he left, would continue this message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says greater works they will do, what a lot of people point out is, for example, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. Over 3,000 people came to faith in Christ that one day. Well, that's more than came to faith in Jesus, evidently, during 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry.
And by the way, this might be a new idea for some people. The reason why you say Jesus might have only reached about 500 people is because after his resurrection, that's how many people he appears to.
1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared to 500 at once. And there were also 120 in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit falls, they have 120 people in a room.
Which isn't huge. I mean, that's a small church who believe in Jesus enough, you might say, to like meet together and be praying for. I mean, he commanded them to tarry, right?
Right.
And so that's only 120 people who are obeying that. Some people think, oh, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people were reached by Jesus. No, not really. It looks like it's a fairly small number. So the greater works is reaching more people, having more of an impact.
I think the greater works is that. Now, it's probably some other things, too. But is it taking a person who was shot in the neck and praying for them and having them healed? I don't think that's a greater work. After all, it's God that answers that prayer. It's God who does that work. We don't heal anybody. God does the healing. And Jesus did greater works than that. I mean, Jesus raised people from the dead. Now, I know there are some claims today of people that God uses to raise people from the dead. I've never found these claims to be valid. I've never seen the authenticating proof. But God does use people to pray and see miracles done, and that's true. But that's really not a greater work. So I would say the greater works are a number of things, at least one of which is leading more people to faith in Christ, possibly teaching more people over the course of a lifetime than Jesus taught in 3.5 years. Some people who are Bible college professors or seminary professors or pastors who are teaching more people than Jesus taught.
Right.
Now, their works are not greater in impact because everything we do is a result of Jesus' ministry.
Right.
But it's greater in the sense that from a human standpoint, we can sometimes accomplish more than what Jesus did. And there are a whole book. I mean, there's a book by that title, isn't there? And there are even ministries. Graham Wilson in San Antonio. I think that's the title of his ministry, Greater Works Ministry. Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's a question from Yavel, and it's about John 7:17. It's Jesus is speaking, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And so Yavel has a question about that. He says, I may be overthinking this, but I'm a little confused. The NKJV uses the word know. When I think of the word know, I think of absolute certainty. Now, with that being said, I am truly convinced about Jesus' doctrine, but I don't know with absolute certainty. I feel that it's impossible to know beyond a possible doubt on this side of heaven. What is Jesus saying in John 7:17?
Okay, good question.
A couple issues there, I think.
I just happened to be studying this passage because someone asked me about this, because there's a book which discusses this. I don't know if you're aware, Sean, but some people argue that John 7:17 is saying something like this. If anyone wills to do God's will, that is, if anyone is willing to obey God, then he will know concerning the doctrine. In other words, he will be led to faith in Christ, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. And so the point that some commentators actually use here is that we must be willing to obey God and willing to follow his commandments in order to know that Jesus' doctrine is true. Notice verse 16, where it says, Jesus answered them, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. So verse 17 is talking about doctrine. Yeah. And knowing Jesus' teaching, his doctrine. It's totally wrong to say that the first part of verse 17 is talking about being willing to obey Christ. Instead, many other commentators on John 7:17 point out that this is being willing to believe in Jesus. Could you read John 5, verses 39 and 40, which tie in here?
You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
So notice, you must be willing to come to Jesus, and coming to Jesus in John's gospel is a figure for believing in him. So they were not willing to believe in him that they may have life. And here in John 7:17, the point is, if you are willing to believe in Jesus, then the Father will reveal to you the truth of his doctrine. When this person says, knowing is something less than certainty, he's been influenced by what we call postmodernity or postmodern thought. There are many people, as you know today, Sean, who believe we can't know anything for sure, nothing. We can't know that 2 + 2 = 4. They would say, well, we think that's true, but we don't even know if we exist. There are some people who say, well, I think I exist, but this could all be a dream. We don't know the lights are on in this room. We don't know anything for sure. We don't know President Obama was the last president. Or President Bush was the president before that, or President Trump is the president. We don't know any of that. We just kind of think it's true, whatever. That's absolutely wrong. We know lots of things, and to believe anything is to be convinced it's true. And I think we talked about John Robbins, and now he has a good article on faith is believing propositional truth,
right.
Or Gordon Clark's book, Faith and Saving Faith, how he shows that faith is always being convinced that a proposition is true.
Yeah.
What this verse is promising is if we're willing to believe in Jesus, then God the Father will give us more light. And as we continue to respond to the truth he gives us, ultimately we're going to come to faith in Christ. This is a terrific promise. If what Yavel means is doubts may creep in from time to time, that's different than saying I'm not sure this is true.
Right.
I mean, if I asked him, are you sure Jesus was born in Bethlehem? I'm assuming he's going to say no because I'm not sure of anything. But if he is sure of something, he'll say, yeah, I'm sure Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Or if I said to him, are you sure that God exists? I assume he'd say, yeah, I'm sure that God exists. But he might say, I'm not, because he might be a postmodern that just says, I'm not sure of anything.
Right. Do you think there's a difference? What if he said something like, I believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but I guess it's possible I could be proved wrong. I guess it's possible that somewhere down the line, evidence will come up to show that, oh, no, that isn't true. but I'm convinced that it's true. I believe it's true, but it's possible that maybe sometime down the line someone can prove it didn't happen.
Well, I suppose someone could say, I'm absolutely convinced, I'm certain that this is true. However, something could come up to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it won't because I'm sure I'm right.
Right.
But I'm open to the fact that something could change. In that sense, okay, maybe. But even there, if I'm sure I'm right, if I'm convinced I'm right, then I know there's nothing that's going to change it. Let me give you an example. When I was in seminary, I was in a class with Zane Hodges on Hebrews, my first class with him. And one day I raised my hand and I said, okay, you say you're sure we're eternally secure. And he said, yes. And I said, okay, I believe that too. But what if you found a verse that absolutely, incontrovertibly taught that we lose everlasting life if we don't persevere? And he said, if that were true, then eternal security would not be true. And he said, but I know there is no such verse because I've studied the entire Bible. I've studied all the verses. And so I know that that's impossible. Well, you could even say it another way. You could say John 3:16 is crystal clear. John 5:24 is crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
John 6:47 is crystal clear. Many, many verses make it clear that the one who believes in Jesus is secure forever. And so because that's true, I know there's no contradictory verse. In the same way, coming on your illustration,
mm-hmm.
if I'm convinced that something is true, then I know there's nothing that's going to come along to change that. Even though I may have little doubts that creep into mind, what if that were to happen? I would say those doubts are not reasonable. So I would reject them. I mean, it would be like, well, what if you have doubts about whether you exist? Would you entertain those doubts?
Like,
I don't think
yeah.
so.
Is it possible that we're living in the Matrix? I mean, I don't know.
I haven't seen enough of those movies to know what that is. It's
right.
some kind of submarine under the water in the.
That's the reality. The Matrix is the fake, but the reality is that they're actually in a. Well, if you get out of the Matrix, you get to live in this submarine, basically. Well, this is an interesting question. I don't know if it was an interesting digression at the end there. But thank you for your question, Yovel. And if you have questions about what we've just said, contact us. Send us some email at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about women's role in the church. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.